Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Hey, welcome back to The Download. It's Dave Plyer in for Justin Kaufman on 720 WGN. So for countless of generations, show business legend Dick Van Dyke has been entertaining us for nearly 70 years. With the Emmy Award-winning Dick Van Dyke Show, which itself will celebrate 55 years on the air next year, movie classics like Mary Poppins and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and 8 successful seasons of Diagnosis Murder. And on December 13th, Dick turns 90, and he's living proof that life does get better the longer you live it. Truly, he's an American icon, and Dick Van Dyke is joining us tonight. Dick, how are you, my friend?
I'm just great. Good to talk to you, Dave.
Oh, same here. You know, growing up watching television, watching the movies, your work has really, honestly, earned you the title of a true American icon. I'm so honored you're spending some time with us tonight.
Is that funny? I must be good genes. I don't know what else.
Okay, fair enough. Well, you know, I know you're raised right here in Danville, Illinois. Your dad worked for the Sunshine Biscuit Company. You just helped save your childhood home that was going to be demolished. How cool is that?
It was an old house when I grew up in it. It must have been built around the turn of the century. But somebody noticed it and decided it ought to be preserved, formed some kind of a group, and are raising funds to see it. I'm afraid I just had nothing to do with it, but I am. You know, when the folks you were raised with recognize that, it's a new and Emmy's one thing, but that's more important, this from your hometown.
Yeah, they said, you know, they got this new foundation. They want to provide scholarships to accomplish young performers in your name, and I can't think of a better way to honor you. That's a very cool thing.
You'll have to take my advice and not do what I did.
Train,
for God's sake.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you did, because, you know, this long, amazing life of yours and why you keep moving and continuing to have the time of your life, it's about moving and keeping things forward. You worked in radio first, which I found fascinating. It was like World War II. You were 16 years old when many of the newsmen and disc jockeys on the air were drafted. They needed to recruit new talent, and at 16 years old, you got your first job on the air.
I got the job. I loved it. I have to tell you a story. After the war, must have been 45 or so, I actually got an audition at your station. I took the train to Chicago, checked into just a flea bag hotel I could afford, and left a call. They didn't call me. And I missed the audition, and I got on the train, came home. It was going to be my big break. I was going to be at WGN, and I missed it altogether.
Oh, my.
So I became a comedian instead.
So you became a comedian. Well,
isn't that funny?
It is. It is. That's a wild story. And, you know, so you're performing on Broadway in the 60s, early 60s, Bye Bye Birdie. Sheldon Leonard and Carl Reiner saw your performance. And at that time, there was a sitcom pilot floating around written by and starring Carl called Head of the Family, which eventually became The Dick Van Dyke Show. How did that meeting and all that come about?
Actually, I don't think I even met them that night. They didn't come back. I heard, Carl sent me about 8 scripts he had written, and I had a little idea of my own, which I threw out the window. I've read some of the best writing I've ever read. I don't know why I think CBS told him, we like the show, but get a better actor.
That happens. I mean, that happens. You know, you got great ideas, but they want to bring someone else into the role. And you knew, obviously, your show shows and Sid Caesar, so you know how good the writing was going to be with Carl, right?
God, yes. I, for 5 years, I wouldn't leave the house on Saturday night because of your show of shows.
Sure.
You know, you couldn't tape it back then. You either saw it then or not. I would not leave the house. That was, I think, a real milestone. They changed the face of television comedy with that show.
They did, and it's funny you say that because, you know, with all the reruns that are out there, and, you know, you see the Lucys in your show and so forth, but that's in the Honeymooners, but that's one that doesn't get a lot of play, like from a syndication standpoint, and really was one of the most brilliantly written
shows. There's only 10 shows left.
Oh.
They destroyed them all.
Oh, isn't that something?
I can't, but there were 10, and the rest were all, the Kennys were destroyed. It just that's really tragic.
Yeah, it is tragic. It is. And no one could figure out, really, they weren't going to use Head of the Family. They really didn't know what to call the show, and nobody really knew at that point who Dick Van Dyke was. But they settled on that. But they settled on the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah, well, we couldn't think of a name, but Double Trouble and things of that kind. Everything we thought of was pretty corny. So I think that was part of the reason we failed the first season. Nobody knew what a Dick Van Dyke was. That's what Rose Marie said when they asked her about doing on the show. She said, "What's a Dick Van Dyke?"
That's great. That's great. Well, speaking of which, you know, Maury Amsterdam, Rose Marie were already cast in the show. They weren't in the pilot, but they were cast for the new show. How great. What amazing talents to be able to work with, right?
I've never fallen into such a perfect blend of a performer. We were like an improv group.
Yeah.
God, they were good. It was such fun.
That's awesome. And I know Mary Tyler Moore was, what, 23 years old at the time when she was auditioning?
I was 12 years older.
Wow.
I said, God, I didn't feel a little young. But the funny thing is, on the 5 years, nobody ever said, "Isn't he a little old for her?"
Well, and the chemistry was amazing between the two of you, but at first you weren't sure she could do comedy. I mean, that really wasn't her background, but she really did show everybody she could do it.
I know. Even she didn't know she could do comedy. She was just, her time, of course, she had Rosie and Maury and Carl Reiner, a lot of people who knew what they were doing, and it just rubbed off on her.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the character of Rob Petrie, how much of Rob Petrie was Dick Van Dyke?
Well, quite a bit. Carl always said that they wrote Yiddish, and we played British. a Jewish sense of something. It's hard to put. Jewish wisdom, Jewish experience.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and then we had, and then we did it American. But I played a guy who, you know, had a lot of child inside. He was intelligent and a nice guy, but he had a childlike fear of authority and not a lot of confidence in himself outside of his own, you know, bailiwick.
Yeah.
And I'd love to play in that.
Well, I will tell you, I mean, the show, though, stands on its own almost 60 years later. You know, there's not, you know, and I know you know this by watching some, there's some shows that, because of dated material and so forth, it's hard to watch today. You know it's from another era. That show, the writing, is so amazing that it completely is one of those shows that stands up today.
Carl did that on purpose. He didn't want any jokes of the day, any mention of the news of the day. And even the clothes are starting to look the same again. They're coming back.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. No, it's true. It's totally true. Now, I have to tell you, when the show opens, now my kids are 14, 10, and just about 4 years old. And when the show starts, they pause it in the beginning, and they literally place bets. Is he going to trip? Is he going to skip around? Is he going to almost make it? Which is it going to be? And they all, I swear, they should be playing for money.
You know, a lot of people did.
Yeah.
A lot of people gambled on that.
Yeah. What a fun way, though, to just get you engaged right at the front of the show.
Yeah, it really was. Of course, Carl hadn't written any physical comedy at all, but he, out of deference to my love for it, he let me do it.
And, you know, you were mentioning earlier, first season, 39 episodes, which 39 episodes in one season is, of course, unheard of today. I mean, now they're doing like 9 episodes.
I know. And, you know, Carl wrote every one of them.
Oh, that's amazing. That is absolutely.
Yeah, he was calling for help by the second season.
I bet he was. Now, Maury, and I know this because I've seen you perform with the Fantastics, your a cappella group, which we'll talk about in a little bit. He wrote lyrics to the show that were never published.
Never published. It's so sad. So we're spreading the word now. We sing them.
I know you do. I'm going to ask you. Do you got a little bit of that for us?
Okay. So you think that you got trouble? Well, trouble's a bubble. So tell all Mr. Trouble to get lost. Why not hold your head up high and stop crying? Start trying. And don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. When you find the joy of living is loving and giving, you'll be there when the winning dice are tossed. A smile is just a frown that's turned upside down. So smile on that frown or defrost. And don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. And then I fall down.
That's fantastic.
It's the sweetest lyrics. And he never even mentioned it to anybody.
Well, stick around. More with Dick Van Dyke next on 720 WGN.
Because I was afraid to speak when I was just a lad. My father gave me nails and tweak and told me I was bad. But then one day I learned a word that saved me ache and nose.
The biggest word you ever heard, and this is how it goes. Oh,
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious. If you say it loud enough, you know it's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
It's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to show business legend Dick Van Dyke. Dick, I know Walt Disney called you personally about the part of Bert in Mary Poppins.
He did. I thought it was because I, had been singing and dancing. He had simply heard a quote of mine about the dearth of decent family entertainment. So knowing I could sing and dance, he said, well, that's the guy I want. And that day when I went in and the Sherman Brothers played that score for me, and they showed, of course, he had all the scenes in watercolor all over the walls of his office. I walked out of there on the air. My God, I just knew it was going to be a great movie.
But, I mean, it was Walt Disney himself reached out to you personally and said, come on down. And they were playing, like they were selling you almost on the part.
We became very good friends. Kind of we were on the opposite sides of the political fence, but still, he was a big kid. He was really a child inside, an old shoe of a kind of a guy. We just talked and talked and talked together.
Now, I know there was an amazing amount of singing and dancing, the Cockney accent. Did you have a lot of time to prepare at that time in the movies, or did you really just go into rehearsal and then hit it?
No, we had lots of time on the dance numbers. The rooftops, I think. They built the stage out of plywood out in the back lot. And we spent about 6 weeks on that. I spent one evening on the accent. They hired an Irishman as a coach, Pat O'Malley, who was no better than I.
To teach you the Cockney accent.
Tweet, not that, last summer there was a tweet with Judi Dench and Jeremy Irons and a bunch of great British actors. They were asked, who did the worst British accent in the history of movies? I won, hands down.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So I said, I wrote him back and said, it's great to be number one.
It is great to be number one.
Yeah, they were so cute about it.
What is the hardest part about getting older, Dick? I mean, there's some things you have given up, and tennis and some other things, but, I mean, you still go and work out. You get up at 6 o'clock in the morning typically every day. You got a key to your own gym. They gave you a key, for God's sake, so you can get in there early and work out.
Sometimes there before the owners get
awesome.
There.
Yeah.
I go in, turn on the lights, do my thing, and then close up again.
Yeah.
But there's some other guys that usually show up. I like to have somebody to talk to. But as I say in the book, it isn't the exercise, it's the getting there.
Yeah.
You'll talk yourself right out of it.
Yeah.
And I said, if you only do 10 minutes, start getting there, and you'll be amazed how fast you come around. 90-year-olds can do it. It doesn't matter.
It's true.
And you need that oxygen blood going through the brain, too.
Yeah, and a great way to start your day.
Oh, yeah. You come back feeling younger.
Yeah. Now,
and I sing all the time. A lot of my friends, as you get older, you don't speak much, and their voices get very, very weak. And that's why I get up in the morning and start singing, oh, what a beautiful morning.
That's awesome. Well,
ain't it a beautiful day, I mean.
You know what? I had met you briefly about 10 years ago. You were walking through Palm Springs. I don't know why you were in Palm Springs. You had like a fanny pack, a backpack on, and you were walking down that street like you had your whole life ahead of you. You were there was a spring in your step that just motivated me. And I said, boy, this guy he knows how to live life. He just does.
Isn't that great? Yeah, I think a lot of older guys just throw in the towel before they should.
They do. Now, hobbies are important, too, and to keep up and keep your brain going. And you talk about a little bit about what you like doing. You work on 3D animation. Talk about open minds. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I started about 20 years ago. They came out with a little toy, and I've got just stuck with it. And now, of course, I'm using a program that they use in the movies. I'm not that good, but it's the process. Anything that you can lose hours in without realizing it is a good hobby.
Now, singing is also part. You say you sing every morning. The Fantastics.
Yeah.
you know, you can. By the way, there's an album out there that you can buy. There's videos out there, people that have taped you recording with I think it's about four or five other younger guys, and you guys do all kinds of a cappella songs. You do a lot of your favorites from the Mary Poppins and the Chitty Chitty Bang Bangs, but you do a lot
People love to hear that.
Oh, it's they do, but you do a lot of other great songs too, and it's, you know, put on a happy. It's all very positive, motivating songs that you're singing.
Well, we have such a good time. I love to harmonize, and these guys, they came to me.
Well, I'll tell you, with 90 years on the planet, any regrets, any things in life you would do over now that you've kind of, you know, learned just a little bit about yourself and life itself?
Well, I would never smoke and I would never drink. Had to battle through both of those things. And for some reason, I turned on a movie with one of my idols, Cary Grant. I must have been busy or drunk. I don't know. But I didn't do the movie. It was one of those light, you know, Doris Day kind of comedies. But God, I just to be able to say I worked with him.
Yeah. No, I get that. But those are two big things in life that you learn. But the smoking, I mean, you smoked for a long time. But I think, you know, but you keep moving and you keep active, and it's that the dancing and singing and everything else. That breathing that is, you know, helped rebuild your lungs and made you a stronger individual.
I think that is what saved me, the fact that I was always in movement, you know, breathing.
Yeah.
I see the AMA just released a new list of things to do to prevent Alzheimer's, and exercise is number one.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that's the fastest growing disease that's out there for that generation,
yeah.
and it's pretty scary. That's a good tip as well. Well, the new book is Keep Moving and Other Tips About Truth and Aging. It's available at Amazon and wherever books are sold. Buy two. It would make a great holiday gift as well. I'm buying one for my dad. I agree. It's a good one for my dad. Absolutely. There's also Dick's memoir from a few years ago, My Lucky Life In and Out of Show Business. That's fabulous. The Dick Van Dyke Show complete series now available on Blu-ray. Mary Poppins 50th anniversary Blu-ray DVD came out last year as well. And for more on Dick, you can always follow him on Twitter and Facebook. Dick, it has been such an honor and to have this opportunity to spend some time with you this evening. And happy 90th to you, a little bit in advance here, sir.
Thank you. I'm absolutely obligated to make it now.
You absolutely are. Well, I look forward to talking to you on your 100th, my friend.
I'm going to call you.
Okay, sounds great. Okay. Thanks, Dick, so much.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, much more ahead on 720 WGN.